Heavenly Father, Lord, we just, as we come to your word right now, Father, we desire to humble our minds and hearts before you right now, Lord. Father, we thank you that that in our weakness you are strong. Thank you, Lord, that that in you we have life. Lord, you are our life. We can know the joy of the life before us because of who you are in us and what you've done for us. So, Father, as we continue in the series of Who is Jesus, Lord, just prepare our hearts right now, Lord. Slow us down. Bring us to a place of being still before you, to hear from your word, the truth of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're looking at Jesus is the life. And if you think about it, this is a pretty obvious statement. Excuse me for being Captain Obvious, but life is important. Life means something. And I tell you, I was reminded that just a little bit earlier in the week, I was sitting in the Starbucks, and I had finished one meeting, and I was waiting a few minutes before I headed to my next, and I was working on the message and praying and thinking some things through, and right as I'm in that place of just a good place before God, I look up, and there's this guy my size. And he's walking, and he's every other word is a swear word. And he's yelling at the top of his voice as he's coming in, and bleepity bleep, get me some water, and bleepity 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 bleep, just at full volume. I remember thinking, okay, this could be a problem. And then I noticed as I was looking up and as I was making eye contact with me from the moment he entered. And he was walking straight towards me. And I was like, okay, this could be interesting. And so I said, okay, be with me, Lord. And I stood up and I walked beeline right towards him. Met him halfway. And he's just there and he's bleepity 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 bleep. And I said, sir, I said, you need to stop. You need to stop. And I smelled him. He was reeking of alcohol. And I said, sir, you are drunk. And you're embarrassing yourself. And you're making everyone here uncomfortable. You need to go right now. It was that look in his eye of death. I mean, I was a little concerned. And all of a sudden, his eyes went, he went down. And I put my arm on his shoulder. And we just walked out. And I opened the door, and he walked out, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and I did this, and he left, and you know, the whole time I had put on that 20 pounds of weight by the, you know, the how you doing? I've been working out a lot lately, and I kind of. And I turn around and I walk back, and I just remember thinking to myself, because I'd just been working on the message and life, and I was thinking, you know, life is pretty important, and we don't know what's going to come up, we don't know what the challenges in life are going to present to us, and how things are going to happen before us, and life is precious, it's very precious. And you're reminded of that in situations where you kind of get yourselves in where you're like, you know, if you've ever been in a car accident and you're worried and right at that moment before the accident, and especially if you see the car coming at the last second. And there's certain things in life that cause us to stop, take a deep breath and take stock and think about what am I doing with my life? What's going on? What's important here? And as we continue in this series, guys, we're really going to be looking at today, as a whole, what a question, who is Jesus? Because as we come to really chew on that question, and I tell you, I love last Wednesday night as we went through this again, of just really spending some time going deeper into the Word and taking what we talked about last Sunday and really talking about it and how does it apply and where does it fit in our lives where the rubber meets the road. And as we're going through that, my hope and prayer as we go through this series is if Jesus is who he says he is, if that's really true, then everything in my life needs to change. Because if it's just a nice story like other stories, then it's a great story and we can go on our way. But if there's truth to the Word of God, if this is the living Word, if it is actual truth, God's truth, not man's truth, but God's truth, then my life needs to change. Our lives have to respond. So I'm excited. The more we ask the question, who is Jesus, it's a question worth asking. And we've looked at Jesus is God. We've looked at Jesus is the Creator. And today we're looking at Jesus is life. John 14, 6. And as we get ready for the well-known verse of John 14, 6, I just want to kind of put it into context. So in the first five verses, Jesus is encouraging his disciples that he's going away and he's preparing a place for them for eternity. And that they know the way to this place. And Thomas says to Jesus, he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? They'd been in the presence of Jesus, they'd been following him, but they didn't fully understand what he was talking about and who he was and what it meant for their lives. And Jesus responds to Thomas saying, Lord, I love Thomas. I love it when somebody says what's on their heart. I love when somebody will come and say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I need help in. This is what I don't understand. Because you can deal with it, right? You can face it up front, and it's just so powerful. Jesus' answer to Thomas' question is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's think about that. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Life. I want us to be thinking about this word. I want us to be kind of chewing on this. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. What is this life that Jesus talks about? What is this life that he talks about? I mean, we've all got life. How is life with Jesus different? And what does that mean? John 11, there's a great story starting in verse 17, and it says this. On his arrival, now just to give a little backstory, Lazarus has died. And Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick, and he'd been asked to come and heal him and get him healthy before he died because he was really, really sick. And Jesus wasn't that far away. And it's days later that Jesus comes. And so there's a feeling of, have you ever been hopeful that something would happen and so you got your expectations up? And then those expectations don't, thank you. And then those expectations don't come through. What you plan to happen doesn't happen. Well, when you're talking about life, that's a big thing, isn't it? On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. 2 miles. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am. There's that, those two words again. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Then the question, do you believe this? That's a question that he asked Martha. That's a question that he asks us. Do you believe who Jesus says he is? Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Guys, this is one of the most theologically sound understandings of who Jesus is this early on in the story of the life of Christ. This is an amazing truth that's being said here. It's an amazing understanding. She's come out and she's at first she's approaching Jesus and she's thinking of what? Herself, her feelings, her loved one, her loss. And as she comes out, she's going into a new and greater understanding, and she's making that known, and she's declaring the truth of who Jesus says he is, and she's receiving it. It's powerful. I know he will rise again. She says, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. One of the things we see is when I went to the Holy Lands and visited and got to walk the places where Jesus walked, I got to see the stories and the places of where the disciples were, of where Mary and Martha were. You can go and still walk those same places and see the same things. And here's a woman in the middle of nowhere that is now recorded this amazing understanding of who she is in Christ. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Because Jesus is intentional and he's personal. He gets involved in our lives. And so as you get on the journey to saying, is Jesus who he says he is? And that's what I ask this series. I know a lot of you are in faith, but some of you I know aren't. Some of you are looking at faith from the, are looking at Jesus from, I know of him, but I don't know him personally. I want to encourage you guys, be like Martha here. Be willing to go out and seek him and ask him the hard questions. Where were you, Jesus? Because he's great enough to receive it. He's great enough to receive it without being offended. Excuse me, I'm God. How dare you? No. That's not his response. He's intentional and he's personal. And he meets with us right where we need to be met. And as we go through some theology and as we go through some deep learning, sometimes we miss out on some of those base truths that are so important, which he's here with us. He knows us. He knows it, and we can bring anything to him. What are you struggling with right now? What are you going through? Go out, meet him. Say the hard thing to him. Be real with him. Because he desires intimacy. He desires a real relationship. And a real relationship is not this. How are you doing? Well, my life's falling apart. Everything's going wrong. I'm fine. And this plastic smile comes out. And guys, we're family in Christ. Not only do we get to be real with him, but in Christ, something changes in our hearts. And no longer do we see each other as foes and as but now we're family. And what's the thing that you can be around family? You can be real, right? I can ask you about yourself. You're going to tell me, if I ask your spouse or a son or a daughter or a mother or a father, they'll give me a little bit more information. I did notice, by the way, one time I overheard a conversation when my mother was visiting. I heard some of you asking her very serious questions. Has he always been like this? Why, yes. And probing for more information. Why? Because mothers know, right? Mothers know. Family is real with each other. Praise God. Let's continue. 1 John 5, starting in the second half of the 10th verse. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. It's important to believe what God says. It's important to believe it. Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his son. So it's not just Jesus saying that he's the son. But remember, do you remember when Jesus had finished being baptized? And the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And what did God say about the son? This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, if you're there and you hear that, you hear the heavens speak, I don't know about you, I'm listening. God the Father speaks and says it. Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about the Son, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. It's not in being good. It's not in doing good. Life is not about being a good person. It's not enough. Whoever has the Son has life. And this is, remember the verse right before it? Not just life, eternal life. And guys, you've heard me say it before, but I think it's foundational for us to go over. What is eternal life? It's life everlasting, eternal, forever, ongoing, without end. So, you know, I really want you to have this. This is a gift from me.
Thank you.
Actually, I want it back. I didn't like the way you said thank you. It sounded sarcastic. You see, a giver of good gifts is somebody who gives the gift. Now, have you ever gotten a present and you received it and you enjoyed it and then you got busted later? And sometimes what happens to that present? It gets taken away. It's in our DNA. We earn what? Right standing with those who are in charge by our efforts. It's ingrained in us. There's been a few times where with some of the kids where if something goes wrong, one of my tools in the toolbox is okay, that phone, I want it. Have you ever seen kids being separated from their phone? And it's not just kids, is it? Yes. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Just to make it clear, and we're talking about eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know. Guys, think about that. So that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. Now, if you're the enemy of God, and you're the enemy of God's people, what is one of the base things, if you can attack something foundational of this person and cause doubt, what do you think it is that the enemy is going to try and bring lies into our lives to become effective in having us live in shame and guilt? rather than being able to humble ourselves before God in our sin and say, God, I'm so sorry, and hearing from God, from His Holy Spirit, having Him say to us, and through His Word say to us, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Does that sin have to be paid for? Yes, at great cost. And we'll go into that in a minute. But I love this word, no. It's not N-O, it's K-N-O-W. No. I write these things to you who believe. Who's he writing to? To those who are saved, right? To those who believe. To those who were just like Martha, who said, you're the Messiah, the Son of God. You are who you say you are. I believe. I believe it. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So is eternal life eternal? If God gives the gift of eternal life and we lose that life because of sin, has he actually given us eternal life? So if he's going to give us eternal life, it's forever. You see, when we're outside of faith, Jesus will judge us. And there's a consequence. When I reject God here on this earth, I get eternity without God's presence. I get eternal separation from God. Because that's what I've chosen. That's what I wanted. But as I come to faith, as I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, He gives over and over. Guys, this is just a few of so many verses that talk about eternal life and the gift He gives. Now, this is something I want to spend a little bit of time in. Number one is this. I believe there are people who are much more learned than I ever will become in my whole life who believe that you can lose your salvation. There are people on both sides, and both sides are just as secure in their walk in Christ. Believing that you can lose your salvation doesn't affect your salvation. Believing you can't lose your salvation doesn't cause you to lose salvation. We can trust God to make the right choice. So I want to start with that. We can trust Him. We can trust Him. All that should be in heaven will be because He's trustworthy. He's not going to make a mistake. So right there, takes a little bit of the heat off it, doesn't it? Because it's not my understanding. It's not what I think that's most important. It's God's truth that's important. So then as I come to know that you have eternal life. Man, eternal life. It's a big thing, eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know it? Do you know that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me? The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you want to follow Jesus instead of yourself? Okay, that's a sign. That's something in your heart that says, you know what? There's something in me that desires something more than just me and mine. And when we come to faith, now what we desire changes from the inside out. How do we know? There's a few things that Scripture says. Do you want to know that God, through His Word and prayer, you know, before salvation, before faith, I didn't need to spend time in the Word. You know, the Bible was that big, old, dusty book up on the shelf. I hear it's a bestseller of all time, but it's really long. And once I took one off and it spoke in Elizabethan English and I didn't understand what it said. But in faith, what happens? Whew, It's the living word. It's the living word. And now the very verses that I heard, and they were like, I don't get it. No. You ever, what is it, the adults of Charlie Brown? Outside of faith, reading the Word of God, it can be like that, guys. If you just randomly open up and you start and say Leviticus, don't! Please don't start in Leviticus. It's really bloody. It's all about sacrifice, and it seems really weird, and... But as it becomes the truth of God's word through faith, now we all start understanding that, boy, it is about this blood and that needed to be shed over and over. And it, every time there was sin, that more blood had to be shed. And now in Christ, blood doesn't need to be shed anymore. It was once and for all. And if God gives me eternal life and I can walk away from that, first of all, I'm walking away from what he's given. So his gift is not superior, is one of my thoughts of the argument of why we can't, when we come to real saving faith, which is very different than a knowledge of God. I've had some people say to me, well, you know, give an example, my father. Didn't go to church, met my mom, wanted to be able to date her. Knew it wasn't going to happen unless he started going to church with her. They started dating. Kind of liked the church thing. People were nice. It was pleasant people, pleasant message. It's good. This is nice. They got married. 5 years of this is nice. Came to a place of saying, of where his faith was challenged. And he had a knowledge of God, but not an intimacy and being known and knowing God. And the challenge came, his older brother of 10 years died, that he had worshipped, that he had put on a pedestal, that had gone and was fighting in the war in Vietnam. And the year I was born was the year he walked away from faith. His understanding from an intellectual understanding of faith. But he didn't know intimately. Now, some would say, for 5 years, for those years, he was doing good things and he was around good people. And he was learning about God. But he didn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Because there's a difference. And when real faith comes, something happens to us. And God does his work, not our work. Our work. But when God moves and gives eternal life, it's eternal. And when we receive it, not just know about it, but truly, something that we're transformed. And it's literally that picture of the worm, of the thing that crawls, of the caterpillar becoming the butterfly. Of the transformation. Same person, but not. Same inside, same soul, but gone from death to life. And now, God is my God. Not God, but my God. I don't pray to a God. I pray to my God. Who knows me and loves me and has given everything for me, who I've received. How can you know that you have eternal life? Do you want to share what's... Do you need to give it away? Do you feel... Before faith, I remember... I was at Lakeside Bible Camp, and I went to Lakeside Bible Camp. It's this wonderful Christian camp, and on Woodby Island, and I had a bit of a reputation when I was young. Those are maybe some of the stories you were asking my mom about. I don't know. But one of the things, you know, I constantly love to find the edge and take a step over. I love to not do bad, bad, bad things, but I love to sneak out. And so there was this time where a few of us, they had just given the talk about not sneaking out. Because, you know, they'd seen that the night before a lot of kids snuck out. We didn't get caught, I just want to say. I was good at my sin. I was good at it. I was good at hiding it. I was good at looking good on the outside and hiding my sin. I was pretty successful at it. And so we were down in the kitchen in the middle of the night. And there were these giant doors that you open. These metal doors and opening metal doors. And just there's the bounce. Oh, man, it was like kid heaven. There were extra desserts from that night. And that's what we had gone down for, was more cake and goodies. And because we weren't, you know, it wasn't the apples we were going down for. I don't know why. But and so we're in there and I get to, ha-ha! And so we caked it and we take our stuff and we're in the car and we're eating it and we're like, life is great, you know, eating chocolate cake. And we're eating this food and it's, oh my goodness. And then we hear a sound. Kring! The door. The food wasn't the focus all of a sudden. You see, when you're trying to be good on the outside and your heart's not changed, when you hear the door, it's not, oh man, what am I doing? It's, where's the back door? How do I get out of here? How do I not get caught, right? When the door slams outside of faith, emotionally, whatever the situation in our lives, when the door slams and it all comes crashing down, in faith, the response is, oh, God, forgive me. I'm guilty. Here it is. I have no excuse. I'm broken. God, I need you because this is not right. That's faith. Outside of faith is trying to get away, trying to find the way out. Why? Because the heart's not different. The heart's not transformed. Guys, are you experiencing a transformed life? Not a perfect life, but the kind of life that says, oh God, I need your help right now. That when you look at yourself in your sin, it's not, well, I'm better than him, but it's, oh God, forgive me. What a wretched man I am. And we have the words coming out of our mouths like Paul, I don't do what I know I should do and what I want to do, and I do what I don't want to do, which I know I should. And it's confusing, God, because I desire to do what's right, and yet something inside of me, the flesh, guess what? That struggle, that pain that you go through when you sin, when we sin, that's another encouragement. Yeah, guess what? That faith that you claim, it's true. Why? Because if it wasn't true, you would be fine with it. Got caught. No worries. It's all good. Guys, the conscience. Because in real life transformation, there's a need for us to honor and love God back. Those of you who have fallen in love and had that person that you fell in love with fall in love with you. You guys remember what that's like? If you've been married for a while, do you remember that first love? I remember the first time, you guys have heard me say it before, where the light shone down on Julie and it was just beaming on her. and I was scared to death of girls. And if I ever saw a girl that I noticed, I'd be, I became a moron instantly. And I was just looking at her and the lights on her, and I'm like, hubba-dubba-hubba-dubba-hubba-dubba. And then I was about 20, 30 feet away, and I look at her and I'm turning away, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm going to turn around, and if she's looking at me, I'm away from home, I'm going to. And so I turn around and she's standing right beside me. Hey. Do you remember what that love is like? That need? You see, in faith, we've been loved by God, and we need to love him back. It's not something, I think, it's something that we can't explain it, right? We can't fully, there's no words that fully, somebody says, "What? How you've changed, what happened to you?" I don't know. I used to want what I want, and now I do what I want, and I'm miserable. But if I turn to God and repent before him and say, forgive me and guide me. And now I'm starting to do things that I don't want to do. And as I'm going down this road that I never thought I'd, now I'm loving it. Now I'm finding purpose in life. Now when things are going wrong around me, it's like, okay, I can have peace in the eye of the storm. I can have that assurance of knowing that I'm in his hands. See, eternal life is a powerful thing. Because guess what, guys? The desire for us to live is powerful. In that moment that guy made, he was about where the doors are to where I am now, where he started making eye contact with me. I didn't have my glasses on. I wasn't sure if it was me. And the closer he came, the more I knew his eyes are right on me, locked in. Locked in. And no matter what the challenges of life present to us, no matter what's coming our way, we can be secure in what? Knowing who we are in Christ. Why? Because not even death takes us out of the hands of God. So now what does that mean? Eternal life is what? Eternal. I've got it in him. It's what he has done. I've received it. And when there's a true transformation of faith, it's death to life, eternal life. Now it's still broken in flesh, but man. And I love this picture. When I come to faith in Christ, and I've been crucified in Christ, and Christ is in me, and the life I'm living in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So now we're together. In my sin, I'm turning back on God. Guys, outside of sin, we're in the courtroom. Outside of faith, we're in the courtroom. And I am being judged. Sinful. Inside of faith, I'm in the family of God. I'm his son. And inside of faith, I turn my back on God, and he's saying, son, that's not right. That is sin. And that'll lead you down a path I don't want you to go. But you're my son. You're my daughter. Are we experiencing transformed life? End with this scripture, 1 John 2:3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. This was a scripture I've been challenged with all week. It was one of the base verses that I started as I was going through where to go and trying to hear and pray and hear from God on the message. And we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. We know that life is eternal life. If what? If we're changed from the inside out. And now what we desire is to honor him with our life. Not perfectly, because we're broken vessels. But we're made whole in him. And remember, yes, it's true that I'm a sinner saved by grace from my visual point. From God's point of view, I'm a saint. I'm his child. I am without sin. Why? Not because of anything I've done, but because what he did for me and offered to me, and I received by faith through his grace and love, and have been transformed and experienced eternal life. And now I can rest that even in my struggles, he's still who he says he is in my life. He's unchanging. I'm not, but he's unchanging. Do you know where you stand? Do you know that you're his? Guys, my encouragement is, as we really look at this whole area of Jesus' life, it's not just the kind of life that can go away, but it's eternal. What's the one thing that we can leave behind us, guys? What's the one thing that we can leave behind us? It's not stuff. Eventually, that stuff will break down, rust, get old, wither. What can we leave behind? The work that God has called us to do of living and loving and getting involved in people's lives and helping lead them to eternal life. Helping lead them to say, you mean there is an answer to this pain I have inside me? You mean there is truth? Yeah, there is something out important besides me? Because what do we know what happens when people think that there is no God and believe that lie? They want the cake at any cost. They want what they want at any cost. But guys, it's not survival of the fittest in faith. It's experiencing his love and loving him back. The greatest way that we can bring honor and glory to God is by enjoying him and loving him back with our lives. Guys, it changes everything if Jesus is who he says he is. If it's true, what in our lives? Guys, hear this. What in your life needs to change? Where are you living outside the will of God, but still in faith? What area are you saying, I've got this one. This is mine. As soon as I figure it out and get it together, then I'll bring it to you. It doesn't work that way. It just gets worse in the closet. Gets locked up and more stuff gets thrown in. Guys, we can be who we are before God, and he receives us as we are. By faith through grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you have that rest that the life you have and you're living is eternal life, greater than any product that any commercial promises of a few more years with a few less lines, a few more years with a few less pounds, a few more years with eternal life and life abundant to the full. I came to give life and to give it abundantly. Guys, I think one of our problems in the church is we live so small at times. It changes everything. Let's live ready for what God's doing. Let's be hungry to love him back and love others in his name. Let's look for opportunities. You know, one of the things that God convicted me with is this. I sent the gentleman out of the door. Do you hear what I said, guys? I missed it. I hope you hear this, because this is what God convicted me of. Is I puffed up my chest and I sent him out the door and I played the part and I held up my hand and I missed the opportunity. I made it about me. God was speaking to me. I was in the moment. I was hearing from him. And somewhere I missed the opportunity. And I rejected him. Rather than saying, brother, what are you doing? Guys, the reason I share that story is because I sinned. I sinned because I didn't do what God had called me to do, which was love with His love. And I missed it. My prayer has been, I'd love to see him again. Or I'd love for somebody else to live out their faith better than I did in that moment. So now, guess what? I get to trust God to be God. And it's not about me and it's not up to me. But now my prayer changes. Now I get to get back on the same game plan with God. Now I'm convicted of my sin. And rather than feeling good about myself for throwing a brother out who's a nuisance to everyone around him, now my heart yearns to love. When I blow it, I'm convicted. Guys, this journey that we're on is real. It's real. It's right before us. Let's not miss it. Let's not go home and, did you see what I did? And miss it. My prayer is, look at what God did. Taking a broken life and making it whole. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much that your love and grace and mercy is real. Because we need it desperately. We are desperate for your love and truth. We are in big trouble if you don't show up. We are broken without an answer if you are not who you say you are. And thank you, Father, that your truth is in the Word of God, that we can know you by reading your Word and hearing who you are directly. Change us from the inside out, God. Humble us, break us. May we see things with eyes, and even when we blow it, even when we sin, may we see your hand in healing, not only those we've sinned against, but in our hearts, in our sin. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Father, for knowing us and receiving us as we are. May we receive others with that same love. Change us from the inside out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Teens, you guys are excused to head down.